We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Second hour here on a Thursday afternoon in the upstate of South Carolina. Julian Council with you up until 3 o'clock. Then Mark Ryan back to talk a bunch about Clemson and, of course, South Carolina. Huge buzzer-beating win. Hey, this might be a hoop state. We talk about college football all the time with South Carolina and Clemson, but South Carolina getting the upset win against Kentucky at the buzzer last night. And, of course, Clemson upsetting Duke the other night. So got to get into that at some point later on in this show. Also, I'm going to get you this keyword for your chance to win $1,000 in our $1,000 free cash stash here on ESPN Upstate. The keyword for this hour is BAND, B-A-N-D. Text BAND to 72881. That's 72881. BAND to 72881 for a $1,000 free cash stash right here on ESPN Upstate. And let's go ahead and go to the phone lines now. Eric McLean, former Clemson offensive lineman, now resides in Charlotte, North Carolina, working for the ACC Network as a college football analyst. Eric, good afternoon, man.
Hey, what's going on, man? Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely, man. Appreciate you coming on. And I just kind of want to get to your perspective. I mean, you've been a part of this program. You were there really in the foundational steps of the build, you know, post-Brent Venables and just getting Dabo to be in Dabo's building this program. Did you ever expect, when you were there, now, you know, you went to the national championship game in 15 and unfortunately fell short against Alabama. Did you ever expect Clemson, when you were playing there and even before you got there, to be in a stage where they won 29 games over a 30-game sample size?
You know, I think we certainly expected and had a vision of greatness. Now, what that greatness was, I don't think anybody could honestly tell you this. I think they would be telling a little fib there, but it's been truly remarkable what Coach Sweeney and that staff have been able to do. The continuity, obviously, Coach Jeff Scott heading down to Florida, but overall, this team, this coaching staff, has been on a fantastic run.
Yeah, it really has been truly remarkable. And just, you know, looking back at this season, I was talking about just Trevor Lawrence to start off the show. I thought he was really good this year. But part of it, when we talked about all the expectations in the summer for him, Heisman Trophy, potentially winning another national championship, and you look, it is not in New York. He kind of had probably his worst performance as a collegiate athlete on Monday night. Do you think Trevor Lawrence, in some sort of a measure, as ridiculous as it might sound, fell just a little bit short of our expectations, even though they might have been overinflated to begin with from the offseason?
I think that's certainly a point that you could – go with and look at, again, all the expectations, the numbers, people putting Heisman Trophy in his hands before the season ever starts. So I think it's certainly fair to say that, but I don't think it has anything to do with him. I think it's other people and the these lofty expectations, and really he's a victim of his own success. And you've heard Coach Sweeney say that, and really just the whole team. You know, it's getting to a point now where if Clemson was to slip and if they do not make the playoff, and then you're going to have people start talking about, well, the season was a failure, you know, you might as well move on to next year. So I think that's the air that Clemson is now stepping into.
Eric McLean, former Clemson offensive lineman, now with the ACC Network as a college football analyst, joining me, Julian Counts, right here on ESPN Upstate. What can Trevor Lawrence do coming up in this offseason to improve? Because he's already been one of the best freshman quarterbacks we've ever seen in college football history. He was fantastic this year, even if he might have not been in New York. They might not have won a national championship on Monday. What can he do to improve and be even better of a quarterback in 2020?
You know, I certainly expect him and Coach Streeter to really go back to ground zero, go back to basics, fundamentals, and especially in spring. But really just with protections, knowing protections better and better, you're never, smart enough, as they say, to be able to recognize blitzes, coverages. So certainly from a cerebral point, the maturation that you would love to see going from a sophomore to junior, and that's going to be something for the rest of his career, just how good of a chess player can you become? How well can you identify coverages, defensive fronts, blitzes, various things like that. So I think we see a big jump from him in that department. When you look at physical capabilities, I mean, I'm not sure what you can do to get better. I mean, he showed that he can run all over the field this year. He has a cannon of an arm already. And again, with that understanding of defenses comes improved accuracy and completion percentage. So I think all that will kind of take care of itself this offseason.
Looking at the ACC as a whole, Eric, only Clemson ending up in the final AP poll in the top 25, ranked number two. This certainly was not a banner year for the conference. Is there a single program that you can point to starting off next season that you think might be, whether it's in the Atlantic or in the Coastal, that might be able to rise up and at least start to regain some sort of respectability for the conference outside of just Clemson's dominance?
Yeah, for me, it's going to be UNC. I think the expectation would be quite lofty going into this year, just when you saw what Sam Howell was able to do as a true freshman, that whole entire staff coming in for their first year. And expectations are going to be huge for them, especially when you see the amount of guys they potentially have coming back. I'm not sure if they've all made their final decision or not, but, I mean, you're talking about three superstar wide receivers that potentially are all going to be back at your disposal, your weapons, as I like to call them, for Sam Howell, and then two fantastic running backs as well. You know, UNC is going to be right there. I was reading an ESPN article, the way too early predictions or bowl predictions of next year, and they had UNC at 12-1 and in the Orange Bowl. So
12-1,
that's the type of year that we can. Yeah. I think that's the type of season that we can see from them. And again, they play Auburn. They have a pretty tough schedule, but I think we're going to see some big strides from UNC.
Yeah, I think the Tar Heels start off next season on the road, either on a Thursday or Friday night at Central Florida. Then they head down to Atlanta to play Auburn in what is going to be a road game, considering Auburn's only an hour and a half south of Atlanta. But, yeah, I guess a lot of people always talk about, and you've heard the sentiment, Eric, that for the ACC in football terms to be one of the more premier conferences, they need Florida State, Virginia Tech, and Miami to be their banner programs. And Miami has yet to win an ACC title since joining the ACC. Virginia Tech just saw Justin Fuente flirting with Baylor, and maybe potentially he might still be going to Baylor. And Florida State just got rid of Willie Taggart after 21 games and hired Mike Norvell from Memphis. Of those three teams, which one would you have the most confidence in heading into next season and maybe even the next couple of years in terms of just having an upward trajectory?
I think when you look at directly next season, you have to have a ton of confidence in Virginia Tech. They're losing two starters on offense, two underclassmen that decided to forego their senior seasons and go to the draft, and a tight end, Keene McLeese, a fantastic running back. And then you're losing a guy due to graduation. He ran out of eligibility on the defense. So to return 19 starters on your team, I think Virginia Tech's looking really good. We saw what they were able to do in the second half of last season, where they really started to pick it up with Hendon Hooker at the helm at quarterback. And then a true freshman last year in King at running back who really had a great second half of the season. So I'm expecting to see a ton from Virginia Tech. But in the long haul, I still think Florida State. I think that they have so much talent. There's so much recruiting talent around that area that Coach Norvell and that staff are going to get the Seminoles back to where they're supposed to be.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that eventually, you know, Florida State, they have to get back to that point with Mike Norvell. And you saw the recruiting count, the talent, Eric McLean, former Clemson offensive lineman, now at the ACC Network as a college football analyst here with me, Julian Council on ESPN Upstate. And looking at the college football as a whole nationwide, I would think everyone would expect Clemson to be a team that would be in the top four next year, just considering just the lack there of strength in the ACC, even though teams like Virginia Tech and North Carolina, as you mentioned, might be able to bounce back and actually provide some sort of competition next year. Let's go ahead and put Clemson in the Final Four for next year. And, of course, everything has to align right with Trevor Lawrence maintaining being the kind of guy we've seen, them staying healthy, and, of course, you know, being able to go through the ACC. What other three teams, as we look at it, we talk about all these way too early top 25s. What's your way too early top four, if you would have one, for next year's college football playoff?
Yeah, I've really gone back and forth on Georgia and Florida for next year. I think the addition of Jamie Newman to Georgia really is going to be good for them, you know, having that big arm, a guy that has unbelievable pocket presence that he throws into tight windows like not too many people. I think really when you look around the SEC, you talk about who's the best quarterback going into next year, I think it's Jamie Newman. And I don't really think it's going to be a close race when you talk about guys that are leaving and Jamie Newman entering that program. So I think that he's going to be able to lead the Bulldogs. But then again, you see what Florida, what they have coming back and the run that they've been on these past two seasons, Coach Mullen has done an unbelievable job there. So I think one of those two could be there. I think they might be the representative from the SEC. You look around the rest of the conference, or excuse me, the rest of the college football landscape. You know, Oklahoma, obviously, it's hard to count them out. They just seemingly reload every other year with great offenses. They've got a very young quarterback there in Spencer Rattler, who was five-star All-American, this and that, that I think people have a ton of expectations for. And then when you keep diving into it, maybe even a Texas. I think people put Texas in there every other year just because. And then, of course, going into the Big Ten, I don't think Ohio State is going anywhere at all. I think that they're going to be a fantastic team. They're either going to be number one or number two coming into the preseason next year, and then cap it off with Clemson.
Eric, I'm so glad you brought up Jamie Newman there at Georgia, formerly at Wake Forest. And I imagine Wake Forest will be just fine with Sam Hartman still being within the program. He was a starter there his freshman year before getting injured, and Newman coming in the latter part of that season. I think they'll be fine. I just wonder with Georgia, looking at Justin Fields and the way Ohio State used him and the way that Georgia wanted to use him. I understand Jake Fromm is a starting quarterback. It didn't seem like Georgia's offense was equipped to have a quarterback like a Justin Fields and potentially like a Jamie Newman be in that offense. Do you expect that they'll make some sort of changes offensively in terms of the scheme that will help suit Newman to be the type of quarterback that he can be? Because I honestly believe that if they do that, he could maybe be an upgrade then from Fromm.
Well, you know, I think the reason he picked Georgia is because he wanted to be in a more pro-style offense. I think he found that very attractive, the drop-back passer, not a lot of crazy zone read type things. I think it would be silly not to have that somewhat implemented in your offense because of how skillful he is. But I think he's actually looking forward to somewhat getting away from running the football. So, but again, end of the day, I think he's a fantastic athlete that it would just be – it would be silly not to utilize that. So it's going to be interesting to see on both sides whether Georgia can find some way to use it. And then on the other hand, if Jamie Newman is bought into actually doing what is necessary to win games.
We're on day three of the college football offseason. I don't know about you, but I already miss the sport. Eric, appreciate your time as always.
You
do a fantastic job on ACC Network. And soon enough, we'll be there in Uptown Charlotte for ACC kickoff. And in the season, we'll be back right around Labor Day weekend. Enjoy the offseason or whatever offseason that you have, because seemingly nowadays there is no offseason when it comes to college football.
Football 365 is good with me, my man. I appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Eric McLean, former Clemson offensive lineman, now with the ACC Network, does a fantastic job as a college football analyst there. And it's interesting that ESPN has North Carolina at 12-1. They have Sam Howell coming back, and Sam Howell, if you look at the quarterbacks in the ACC this past year, just staying on the whole Trevor Lawrence thing, like Sam Howell and Jamie Newman probably had better seasons, and that's based off expectations, but they had really good seasons, and they were just right there on the same plane as Trevor Lawrence. You could probably make an argument that they might have had better seasons. You bring back Howell, 10 offensive starters, then a first-team linebacker in Chaz Surratt in that defense in North Carolina, and they also went out there and got Desmond Evans, number two ranked recruit in terms of, according to ESPN's Recruiting Nation, and they have a top 15 class. Maybe the Tar Heels are going to build something there with Mac Brown. What's up?
Looking at their out-of-conference schedule for 2020, they've got they're at number 17 UCF. They got Auburn coming into Chapel Hill.
That's in Atlanta.
Sorry. James Madison out of the FCS, and UConn, the 126th team in America.
It's basically comes down to the first two games.
Yeah.
Because, like, the Carolina –
can they go 1-1 in those two games?
Right. The North Carolina hype train is going to be similar to the Tennessee hype train.
Sure.
North Carolina's a young quarterback. They really – I mean, they played a lot of close games. If you just look at things, they potentially could have been a 10-win team if they're able to get by teams like Clemson, like App State, where they lost on that last-second field goal that was blocked. Against Wake Forest, had a one-score game. A ton of one-score games throughout the year, especially with the six-overtime game against Virginia Tech, where this could have been a double-digit win team.
To be fair, they didn't lose on that kick. That kick would have tied the game.
Right.
Would have sent it to overtime.
True.
Credit where credit is due.
Credit to App
State. Don't say that they lost on a block kick. They didn't lose on a block kick.
It helped assist.
Plus, it was like
a
50-yarder, too.
58. Could have happened. Could have happened. But the Tar Heels are certainly a team to look out for. And they're the only team that really pushed Clemson up until the Ohio State game and, of course, the national championship loss on Monday night. So maybe Mac Brown and the Tar Heels down there in Chapel Hill might be able to be a team that can bring back some sort of pride outside of Clemson in the ACC. But we got to talk some Gamecock football. And I got a lot of things I want to say about South Carolina, the expectations, must-check, bringing in his buddy Mike Bobo. And there's also a lot of Georgia staffers. I said yesterday, maybe he's a double agent. I don't know if that's true or not. But the Gamecocks, there's a lot of expectations that people have of them. What should be the expectations going to the 2020 season? You're listening to Julian Council right here on ESPN Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Julian Council back here on ESPN Upstate. Let me get you a chance to win some free money, something that we all need, especially as the weekend approaches. It's your time for the $1,000 free cash stash here on ESPN Upstate. The keyword is BAND, B-A-N-D. Text BAND to 72881. That's 72881. BAND to 72881 for our $1,000 free cash stash right here on ESPN Upstate. Julian Council here with you. You can tweet at me at Julian Council, C-O-U-N-C-I-L to spell the last name, just like City Council. That's at Julian Council. Or you can call in at 844-477-3776 or text in at 71307. Spent a lot of time talking about Clemson the last 2 days and just the thoughts on what this team's going to look like going into 2020. And they're going to be another national title contender. They should be back in the playoff. Playing the ACC certainly helps. The Gamecocks, there needs to be some sort of discussion on them and just fan expectations. Coming into this year, and Will Muschamp is the one who set the expectation that this was going to be his best team that he's ever had in his fourth season at the University of South Carolina, and they went 4-8. Not great optics when you say back in Hoover, and a lot of people say things in Hoover about how they're going to be multiple, we're going to really open up the offense. That's what LSU said, and they didn't lie. They brought in Joe Brady. Joe Burrow became a Heisman Trophy candidate and won it, and they won a national championship, having a 15-0 season, having maybe the greatest college offense that we've ever seen. Will Muschamp, on the other hand, told us that they were going to have the best team he's ever had at South Carolina, and they went 4-8. They had talent in Javon Kinlaw. You thought Jake Bentley was going to be coming back as a starting quarterback as a senior. I know a lot of South Carolina fans, there's a love-hate relationship, probably leaning on more of hate of Jake Bentley. But if that guy would have stayed healthy and not broken his foot in the final play of that North Carolina game back at a Bank of America Stadium in Uptown Charlotte on Labor Day weekend, he's probably thrown for 10,000 yards in his entire career at the University of South Carolina. And he would have been one of 9 quarterbacks in the history of the Southeastern Conference to do that. So anyone who does that is a solid quarterback. You're going to go see him play at Utah and probably end up being a draft pick in 2021, which will be the first time since 1990 when Todd Ellis, who's now part of the South Carolina Radio Network, was drafted in the National Football League. That's how long it's been since South Carolina's had a quarterback drafted. And that just goes back to just what this program has been over its history. Looking at Football Reference, over a 112-year span of South Carolina Gamecock football that they have listed, they have 4 10-win seasons. 4 10-win seasons. 3 of them came with Steve Spurrier when they went back-to-back-to-back 11-2 seasons, finishing as high as number 4 in the AP poll, and the other one came back in 84 with Joe Morrison as the head coach when they went 10-2. Lou Holtz had some good stands. Will Muschamp has won 9 games back in 2017. Spurrier won 9 games in 8 games a few times, and Morrison won 8 games a few times as well. Again, 112 seasons, 4 10-plus win seasons. And there's people out there demanding that Will Muschamp be fired after 4 years. I spoke to someone within the South Carolina Athletic Department in the press box of that game, the Bell College kickoff between North Carolina and South Carolina, and asked him before the game, just asking, what are your thoughts on Will Muschamp? Like, is this a season that if he does not win, he's out? And this is before the season, mind you. And I was told by that individual that no, we appreciate what Will's done. He has won more games in his first three seasons than any head coach in the history of South Carolina. That's more than Steve Spurrier, Hall of Famer, who's won a national championship at Florida and was in the NFL at the Washington Redskins. That's more than Lou Holtz, who was a legend in college football and won national championships at Notre Dame. He had won more in 3 years than any other head coach in the history of South Carolina. And, of course, you look at Lou Holtz's circumstances coming and taking over the job, completely different than the circumstances that Will Muschamp took over for Steve Spurrier, who left in the middle of the season, basically quit. But the media loves him, so we say left. I love Steve Spurrier, so I don't want to say he quit, but that's what he did. He quit. Now, Will Muschamp, first 3 years, better than any other coach in the history of South Carolina. His fourth year, where you expect there to be a jump, especially after year three was a disappointment when they went from 9 wins to 7 wins and then getting shut out in the Belk Bowl to Virginia, you thought that there should have been a jump. And especially when he goes out there and tells you, this is the best team I've had in my time at South Carolina. Then they go 4-8. They lose App State. I mean, they get blown out by Clemson. You lose to North Carolina. North Carolina team eventually goes 6-6, but a North Carolina team that at that point in time, we didn't know what Sam Howell was going to be. All that is disappointing. And I understand South Carolina fans' frustration. I just ask, and I'm genuinely asking, what is your actual expectations for this football program? Because looking historically, it should be 7-5, 8-4. And now the SEC East with Georgia, the way that they are, Tennessee winning 6 straight games in the second half of the season under Jeremy Pruitt in his second season, in Florida under Will Muschamp or Dan Mullen, 10 wins, 11 wins in his first 2 years down there in Gainesville. You have to be concerned about the SEC East and the shift of the tide and the turn of the tide. Because back when Steve Spurrier was winning 11 games in 3 straight years, Tennessee was in Tennessee. Georgia was good, but they weren't Georgia. Mike Bobo, I will never forget, I was down there at that game back when Todd Gurley's junior year when they were playing South Carolina second week of the season, and he's not handing Todd Gurley the ball in the red zone. If they're inside the 10 after an interception, he would not hand Todd Gurley the ball. That's something you have to look forward to, South Carolina. Now there's no Rico Dattle. There's no Tavian Feaster, which is still mind-boggling to me, hearing the phone calls that we got yesterday, Diesel, that a guy from Clemson would go to South Carolina? Like, Ohio State, Michigan, I think it's happened one time, like an offensive lineman left Michigan to go Ohio State, or it might have been vice versa. I've never heard of anyone playing basketball at Carolina or Duke, or North Carolina or Duke, and then going to the other school. Like, how was that received?
Let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
What do ballers want to do?
They want to ball.
Ballers want to ball. Ballers don't care about rivalry. They don't care about fandom. They don't care about what the fans think. He saw an opportunity to go ball in his home state, and he took it.
He did. He took it, and he played for Thomas Brown, who is a former NFL running back, also a Georgia guy, one of the many on that South Carolina staff, alongside with, Brian McClendon, Will Muschamp, Mike Bobo, Joe Cox, who's going out there and helping coach wide receivers and quarterbacks for the Gamecocks. I look at that schedule next year, and you look at the losses, no Brian Edwards, I already brought up Feaster, I brought up Dowdle, and you have to question, too, the quarterback position. They brought in Colin Hill, who was a grad transfer from Colorado State, blown out his knee like 3 different times, but he's a South Carolina native, want to come back home, and he's probably going to get a chance to compete alongside Ryan Helinski, who was so highly touted, and people are talking about, this is the guy that we want to have instead of Jake Bentley. You saw this season, the difference between an experienced SEC quarterback in Jake Bentley and a freshman quarterback in Ryan Helinski. Helinski was 11th in the SEC in passer rating this past season. He has to improve. And they have to put the staff around him, which they've done with Mike Bobo, which they're doing with Bobby Bentley, apparently, who's going to assist Bobo in terms of coaching the offense and the quarterbacks. And I'm surprised that he's still around. They're going to have to do all of that to try and help elevate that position. Because that position's not elevated this upcoming season with the losses personnel-wise that they had. I know they still have Shai Smith coming back, who's their second leading receiver, and then Ortrey Smith, who hopefully can finally be healthy after having that knee injury 2 years back in Vanderbilt that basically derailed that season and derailed last season. He was a former South Carolina Player of the Year. Maybe he can finally reach those expectations. If they don't do that, this defense is still not a vintage Will Muschamp defense. And the schedule next year, the first 3 games against Coastal, East Carolina, and Mizzou should have them at 3-0. And going to Kentucky, a team that they've lost to 5 of the last 6 times, and they blew Kentucky out on a Saturday night this year at Williams-Brice Stadium, they could have a chance to be 4-0, maybe things all align for South Carolina. We did the same thing last year, though, in thinking that they were going to be 3-0 heading into the Alabama game. And had they not lost to North Carolina, I think we would have felt a lot better about that situation than we did going into this season with Alabama. So they have a chance, but the road games at Florida, at LSU, at Clemson, all already right now, as we sit here on January 16th, feel like a loss. No, we don't. They don't play those games until October 3rd at Florida and November 14th at LSU and November 28th at Clemson. A long way to go until that happens. So just looking at South Carolina right now and just the expectations for this program going to next season and beyond, I don't know how much longer Will Muschamp is going to last. I don't know if he is the right guy for that job. Because if you look at it, what did you expect? He didn't even win at Florida. And no offense, South Carolina. Good facilities that they have down there now. Passionate fan base. All the things that you would want out of a program and everything that you basically get out of a college football program in this state and in the SEC. The coach does not align with that. He didn't win at Florida. A better program. More talent. Not competing against a national champion in your own state. In Clemson, and in your next chief rival being the University of Georgia, now under Kirby Smart, that is perennially going to be a national title and SEC contender. Will Muschamp is just not a good enough coach. Well, my biggest question there is, if he's not good enough, then who is? Who's going to be good enough to win at South Carolina? Mark D'Antonio, former South Carolina alum, is there at Michigan State. They've fallen out the last 2 years, but he's taken Michigan State Spartans. He's taking them to Rose Bowls, to Cotton Bowls, to the playoff at Michigan State. Maybe he'll come back home and fix things, but the offense that he's run up there in East Lansing has become stale. It's been stagnant. He, instead of firing his entire staff last year offensively, he reassigned him and nothing worked. We'll see what he does this offseason. Maybe he'll be available next year, but does he fit the SEC? Can he recruit with the likes of Georgia and Florida and Tennessee and Clemson and Auburn and Alabama? I don't know. I don't know who South Carolina gets if it's not Will Muschamp. That's going to change the situation in Columbia. I'm not telling people that they should just give up and be like, oh, we are who we are. Because Steve Spurrier certainly allowed them to believe and allowed them to know that it is possible at the University of South Carolina in terms of the football program that they can win games. They can win big. But again, even in those 11-win seasons, they found a way to lose to teams that they shouldn't have lost to. And the only season that he actually went to the SEC championship game when they won 9 games was not one of those seasons. So we'll see what happens moving forward with Will Muschamp and South Carolina football program. I really want your input here on just what your expectations are with South Carolina football moving forward under Will Muschamp in 2020. You can call in at 844-477-3776 or you can text me at 71307. Make sure to use the keyword ESPN when you call in. On the other side, also you can talk more about South Carolina football expectations, whether Will Muschamp is the right fit, but also the Gamecocks basketball team. Huge upset and Clemson upset Duke the other night. You're listening to Julian Council right here on ESPN Upstate. You heard the big voice guy. Call in 844-477-3776 or text me at 71307 with the keyword ESPN. Julian Council here with you on ESPN Upstate up until 3 o'clock. Then going to hand it off to Mark Ryan, who's back after being sick the last couple of days. I want to get your perspective right now. I want to hear from South Carolina fans. I want to hear from Clemson fans. It's just you and I here on a Thursday afternoon. But I specifically want to hear from South Carolina fans. I genuinely want to know, what are your expectations for this football program under Will Muschamp moving forward? And what your expectations in general are for South Carolina? I pointed out, looking at football records.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
112 seasons, 4 10-plus win seasons. Doesn't necessarily make you believe that this is a program that should be contending for national championships or even SEC titles, even though you would think and you would hope for that to happen. Steve Spurrier, a Hall of Fame coach, put the Gamecocks and this fan base in a position to where they were right there on the cusp, 1 year finishing as high as number 4 in the AP Top 25. So I'm very interested to hear what your thoughts are on Will Muschamp and just this program as a whole as we move forward in 2020. And Keith is on the line right now. He wants to talk Gamecock football. Keith, good afternoon, man.
How's it going?
Good, man. I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. I've got a take on the 2020 year. I'm not real excited about it, quite frankly. I think the defense is probably going to be solid, if not spectacular. Even on defense, I'm concerned about losing Javon Kinlaw and T.J. Brunson and who's going to fill those spots. I think they'll probably be overall as good as they were this past year on defense. The problem's on the offensive side of the ball, as we all know. The last four games, Carolina scored 48 points. That's 12 points a game. And that includes 24 against Vanderbilt. So if you take those 24 out, you're down to 8 points a game. That is one of the worst offenses, probably 5 or 10 in the bottom part of the country. So if you look at the position groups, what concerns me is if you look at the wide receiver group, the tight end group, and possibly the running back group as well overall, and you rank them 1 through 14 in the SEC, I'm thinking that Carolina's probably in the bottom three or four teams in all three of those groups. So how are you going to go from averaging 19.9 points a game in your SEC games this year to what you're really going to need to do? You're going to need to get to about 30 points a game. So you're going to need to improve that offense 50%, basically, I think, to get to 6 or 7 wins. And so what people's expectations are, the Sunshine Pumpers are expecting Luke Doty to be as good as Connor Shaw was as a senior coming in as a freshman. They're expecting Marshawn Lloyd to be as good as Marcus Lattimore was as a freshman. And then somebody's got to come out of nowhere to be an all-SEC type tight end. I don't see one on the roster right now. Wide receiver, in terms of that group right there, you have Shy Smith, who's a decent receiver. What else do you have? You got Rico Powers, and you got Mike Wyman, and those guys are going to have to come in and be all SEC type players. I don't see it happening. So
you certainly
look at the schedule right now,
Keith. You certainly paint a picture.
Four wins on the schedule. It's four wins on the schedule.
You only see four wins next year.
What I'm saying is we're going to be favored in four games.
Okay,
if you had to pick them right now, and then. You mentioned Missouri. A lot of people, Carolina people, are saying, oh, you're going to beat Missouri. Didn't they just beat us by 20 last year?
That was at Missouri, right?
Not by last-second field goal. They beat us by 20 points. Tennessee is going to be better next year than they were this year.
Mm-hmm.
They ran us out of the stadium by 3 touchdowns. You're going to beat Tennessee next year? And then Kentucky beat us 5 out of 6. They kept their coach. It was rumored he was going to Florida State. They kept their coach. They figured out after our game who their quarterback was, and they ended up beating Louisville by like 30 points in their last game, and I think they won their bowl game. But you're going to tell me right now you think we're going to beat Kentucky at Kentucky.
So not much reason to believe so, and I appreciate the phone call, Keith. It certainly paints a picture of the frustration for a lot of fans of South Carolina, like the offense. Yeah, the defense – you still get Ernest Jones back. You got that secondary that was much improved this past season, at least in my opinion, compared to where they were in seasons past. But when you lose talent like Bryan Edwards and you lose the running backs Enrico Dowdle and Tavian Feaster, where they finally, for the first time at South Carolina, seemingly had some sort of balance with the run game, comparatively speaking, with the passing game, at least they played some sort of complementary football offensively. But now you have a young quarterback in Ryan Helinski, wide receivers that you hope in Shy Smith and Ortre Smith that can step up, maybe Josh Van. Outside of that, I don't know.
Yeah, but was the defense that good last year? I'm looking it up right now. They're 53rd out of 130.
It's not as good as you would expect. That defense is not as good and has not been as good as you would expect a Will Muschamp coach defense to be. Will Muschamp, Coach Boom, great defensive coordinator at Texas, at Auburn,
sure,
wherever he's been. And he had great defense at Florida. More talent at Florida. Don't get me wrong there. But the defense has not been up to standard here at South Carolina, which has been part of the problem, because his offenses, whether he's been at Florida or South Carolina, have never really been all that good.
You can be concerned about losing individual players all you want to, and that's a valid concern. However, was that defense that good? No, on a whole, it was not. It was 53rd out of 130.
No, it's not. That's not good
that's
enough.
That's middle of the pack.
Not good enough in just nationwide thinking. Not good enough in terms of the SEC. It certainly needs to improve. if the Gamecocks going to have any chance to, as he said right there, he expects four games will be favored in, but he doesn't know if they're even going to win against Missouri or Kentucky. The good thing there, at least, is the fact that, well, Kentucky's on the road, but Missouri, they play Mizzou at home. Tennessee, another team that blew them out on the road at Rocky Top last year, has to come to Williams-Brice. So that certainly helps South Carolina. 844-477-3776. Julian Council here with you on ESPN Upstate. We'll also go to the phone line. Looks like Michael wants to chime in on our earlier discussion of Trevor Lawrence. Michael, good afternoon. Michael, you there?
How's it going?
Good, man. How are you?
Yes, sir. Good.
What do you want to say?
I respect your opinion, respect all that fun stuff. Trevor Lawrence obviously had a down year this year. Compared to what we thought he would have, what everybody thought he would have, media thought he had, so on and so on. But my really question is, I've always thought he's one of the better quarterbacks in college football, not downplaying him at all.
Mm-hmm.
But do you think a lot of his numbers come from his receivers? Or do you honestly think he legitimately is head over heels above most of the quarterbacks in college football?
I think the best way to look at
Clemson,
I'll let you respond. But I think the best way to look at Trevor Lawrence from like his freshman season to this past season is just what the role and expectation was for him last year. Like, last year, it was all about the defensive line with Christian Wilkins, Austin Bryant, and those guys. Like, they had some dudes. And Cleveland Furl, they had dudes on a defensive line that were going to make sure that Clemson was going to win games. Like, they won games because they were winning at the line of scrimmage. Trevor Lawrence came in there with Travis Etienne and all those wide receivers and was really just kind of like a role player. As crazy as that sounds for a quarterback of that kind of talent, he was more of a role player. While this season, he was expected to be the star, which he still was really good and still was a star, but he wasn't the kind of shining superstar that we thought he was going to be this past season. So his receivers are really good. I would say his freshman year, there were plays specifically, I think, about the A&M game, which basically kind of like, you know, Kelly Bryant helped him win that game a year ago, but Trevor Lawrence had a touchdown pass to T. Higgins where he just threw it up there and his team made a play. And that's happened plenty of times with T. and Justin Ross throughout these past two seasons. Those guys certainly have talent, but at times that we saw against Ohio State and LSU on Monday night, those guys had a really tough time getting off of press coverage. So as good as his receivers have made him look, and they had to catch the ball, they've also struggled and not made his life as easy as it could have been against the Ohio States and the LSUs of the world, if that makes any sense to you.
Oh, for sure. I agree. And that's where I've always stood. Clemson has one of the best receiving corps in the nation.
Yeah.
Year after year, they load on receivers. That's what Dabo does the best. And obviously he does defense well, defensive line, offensive line, the trenches he has covered. But I've always thought the receiving corps is one of his best recruitment bases.
Yeah, and Clemson's becoming wide receiver you. Mike Williams, Sammy Watkins,
Nuke
Hopkins. Like, they're putting in dudes to the NFL every year from that position. It's no surprise considering Dabo was a receivers coach under Balvin. He was a walk-on receiver at Alabama. We all know the story. Like, that, they're always going to have talent at wide receiver as long as Dabo Swinney is the head coach here at Clemson. But, Michael, I really appreciate your phone call, man. You guys can call in at 844-477-3776. It's 844-GSP-ESPN. Or you can text me at 71307. Make sure to use the keyword ESPN so we get your text here. It's Julian Council filling in right here on ESPN Upstate. We'll be right back.
Quickly. Probing. Quickly. Firing. Quickly knocks it down.
What a shot.
4 seconds to go.
Great step back out. A lot of time. Plenty of time to push.
Cousinard with one. Pull-up three. Good if it goes. He got it! He got it! He got it! Carolina wins! Unreal shot by Jermaine Cousinard!
There was last night. The South Carolina Gamecocks upsetting the number 10 Kentucky Wildcats there in Columbia, 81-78, moving to 9-7 on the season and 1-2 in conference play in the SEC. Back-to-back nights here in the state of South Carolina that a top 10 team goes down as earlier on what Tuesday night, Clemson upsetting number 3 Duke there at Little John Coliseum, making me think that we were joking about it. You know, Clemson football loses, but Clemson basketball beats NC State, then beats North Carolina for the first time in 60 tries there in Chapel Hill, then comes back and beats Duke at home. Now South Carolina goes out there and beats a top 10 Kentucky team at home, which is not something that's been surprising because they've done that plenty of times, it feels like, in the last decade. Frank Martin has certainly done a great job as the head coach there at South Carolina. And it came down to Emmanuel Quickly, who was able to tie the game late in the ball game before Jermaine Cousinard, who had 26 points and was inserted into the starting lineup because Frank Martin just had a feeling that he would go out there and play well. Cousinard had 26 points, including the game-winning three at the buzzer. And the funny thing was, too, like Quickly, who made the shot to tie the game, was right there denying Cousinard the basketball after he made the shot. Then he bumps off of him and just runs down the floor, allowing Cousinard to get the ball with that being unimpeded and to get that three-point shot. So Quickly, had he just stayed on him defensively, maybe that game goes to overtime and Kentucky is able to prevail then. But a huge win for the Gamecocks and a huge win for the Tigers the night before. And I look at Clemson, and Brad Brunell, now with that win, became the winningest coach in Clemson basketball history, passing Cliff Ellis, both of those guys doing that in their 10th season at the helm of the job. And I saw a lot of folks on Twitter that were Clemson fans. You know, Twitter's Twitter. People are either happy, they're mad, they're usually pissed off when it comes to Twitter, and they usually have unreasonable opinions. And I don't know if this one's unreasonable, but a lot of folks are like, okay, cool, he won that game, but Clemson basketball should be better. And he's now the winningest coach in Clemson basketball history. And Cliff Ellis is the only guy before that. That kind of tells you where Clemson basketball has been historically. It's not on the same level, of course, as Clemson football and how well they've been the last couple years. But only two NCAA tournament appearances. His first year back when he had DeMontez Stitt, and then 2 years ago when he went to the Sweet 16 with Gabe DeVoe and some of those guys. It makes you wonder, should they be better under Brad Bowness? In the ACC, it's difficult with Duke and North Carolina and Virginia. Miami's had good program at times, and Florida State, they've been fairly consistent over the last couple years as well, and they're a top 25 team this year again. And then Louisville is one of the early national title favorites when the season began. Now they've kind of fallen off a little bit. They're still a top 15 team. I don't know if they're still a national title contender that we thought they were going to be coming into the year. I just wonder if Clemson, beating NC State, then beating North Carolina, then beating Duke, is that going to be good enough as they continue to evaluate Dan Radakovich, the AD, Brad Brunell, who did sign an extension not too long ago? Brad Brunell's been a decent head coach at Clemson. I would think, though, and having a conversation with someone the other day, in a 10-year span, I would think with Clemson basketball being located in the ACC, being located here in the upstate of South Carolina, there's plenty of talent coming from Atlanta, in this own state, as we saw with Ja Morant. And we saw Zion Williamson, who Zion was a guy that had Clemson as one of his finals. Some people thought that he legitimately was going to go there before he decided to go to Duke. And you just look at the state of North Carolina. There's plenty of talent in this region for Clemson to be a lot better than that they've been this season, even though they bounced back the last three games, beating North Carolina State, beating North Carolina and Duke in three straight games. So I don't know that's ever happened, that they've beaten those three opponents in successive games, because those have been the three brands that have basically made up the ACC since its inception back in 1953. I would expect Clemson basketball in a 10-year span at least go to the tournament at least four or five times, half the time. And Brad Brunell not going last year with Marquise Reed back, with Shelton Mitchell back, I think, and Elijah Thomas, I think that kind of has helped hurt his perception and the way Clemson fans feel about him, because he was not able to get a team that went to went to the Sweet 16 a year before and actually took Kansas to the brink there in Omaha, Nebraska. I think that kind of has had some Clemson fans down on him, that he has not been more consistent, only taking Clemson to the NCAA tournament two times during his tenure. And this year, probably unlikely to happen, even though he's picked up three quality wins, although North Carolina not as good as they've been in the past, but Duke a top three team, upsetting them the other night and beating an NC State team that should probably be back in the bubble and likely a team that's going to be on the right side of it this upcoming season in terms of the NCAA tournament. Great two nights for the state of South Carolina as Clemson upsets Duke at Little John, and then last night at Colonial Life Arena, South Carolina upsetting number 10 Kentucky. On the other side, reports that Cam Newton might be traded. You're listening to Julian Council right here on ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.